Gatehouse Wards International ESOL Classic Listening Examination. Level 1, B2. Sample Set 1. This examination consists of 3 tasks. In each task, you will hear a recording and then must answer the questions in the candidate booklet. You will hear each recording twice. You will be given 1 minute to read the questions before the recording is played. You may now open your booklet. Listening Task 1. Listen to the recording and answer the questions. You now have 1 minute to read the questions. Listening Task 1.
Hello, London University Student Helpline, Kathy speaking. How can I help?
Hi, good morning. I wanted to talk to somebody about one of your courses. Can you help?
Certainly. Are you an existing student or are you thinking of signing up for one of our courses?
I am not one of your students, no. I was looking at one of your psychology courses and I just wanted some more information before I decide. I'm a bit concerned about the finances, you know.
Of course, I'm sure I will be able to assist. There are many options we can look into, but first, can I just take some of your details?
Sure.
Can I take your full name and date of birth?
It's Andrew Roberts, 26th July 1994.
Thanks. So, do you live in the UK, Andrew?
Actually, I'm teaching English as a foreign language in Greece at the moment, but I'm coming back to the UK next month. But I am a British citizen, if that's what you're asking.
Okay, and what course are you looking to sign up for?
It's the undergraduate degree in psychology, but I'm not sure I can afford to pay the tuition fees.
Well, let's talk about the payment options first. The good news is that you don't have to pay for a whole course up front. You can pay for each module separately.
And how much is it per module?
It depends on how many credits the module carries. It's £1,450 for 30 credits and £2,900 for 60 credits. The fees include all your course materials, tutor support, assessments and exams.
And what about accommodation?
That's not included. Also, there are other costs associated with study, such as laptop, travel and internet access, and the course fees are not inclusive of those.
Oh, okay. That sounds quite expensive.
You can apply for a student loan, though. Did you know that over 60% of all students in England pay this way? You don't have to pay anything up front and will only start to make monthly repayments when you get a job that pays over £21,000.
That's reasonable, I suppose. Would I be able to get this loan?
The loan's available to anyone who enrols on an undergraduate degree, part-time or full-time, regardless of their age or current income.
That sounds really great. I should be able to get it, I think. So, can you tell me what I need to do next? Do I need to contact my bank?
Well, first of all, you'll need to register with us on the course you want to study and tell us you'll be applying for a student loan. Then, when you receive your confirmation email from us, you'll need to apply online to Student Finance England. It's a fairly easy application, but you'll need to have your passport. The application process takes up to 6 weeks to finalise.
Thank you so much for your help. Can you send me this information in an email?
Yes, I can send you one of our fees and funding brochures too. Can I take your email address, please?
You will now hear the recording again.
Hello, London University Student Helpline. Kathy speaking. How can I help?
Hi, good morning. I wanted to talk to somebody about one of your courses. Can you help?
Certainly. Are you an existing student or are you thinking of signing up for one of our courses?
I am not one of your students, no. I was looking at one of your psychology courses and I just wanted some more information before I decide. I'm a bit concerned about the finances, you know.
Of course. I'm sure I will be able to assist. There are many options we can look into. But first, can I just take some of your details?
Sure.
Can I take your full name and date of birth?
It's Andrew Roberts, 26th of July, 1994.
Thanks. So, do you live in the UK, Andrew?
Actually, I'm teaching English as a foreign language in Greece at the moment, but I'm coming back to the UK next month. But I am a British citizen, if that's what you're asking.
Okay, and what course are you looking to sign up for?
It's the undergraduate degree in psychology, but I'm not sure I can afford to pay the tuition fees.
Well, let's talk about the payment options first. The good news is that you don't have to pay for a whole course up front. You can pay for each module separately.
And how much is it per module?
It depends on how many credits the module carries. It's £1,450 for 30 credits and £2,900 for 60 credits. The fees include all your course materials, tutor support, assessments and exams.
And what about accommodation?
That's not included. Also, there are other costs associated with study, such as laptop, travel and internet access. And the course fees are not inclusive of those.
Oh, okay. That sounds quite expensive.
You can apply for a student loan, though. Did you know that over 60% of all students in England pay this way? You don't have to pay anything up front and will only start to make monthly repayments when you get a job that pays over £21,000.
That's reasonable, I suppose. Would I be able to get this loan?
The loan's available to anyone who enrols on an undergraduate degree, part-time or full-time, regardless of their age or current income.
That sounds really great. I should be able to get it, I think. So, can you tell me what I need to do next? Do I need to contact my bank?
Well, first of all, you'll need to register with us on the course you want to study and tell us you'll be applying for a student loan. Then, when you receive your confirmation email from us, you'll need to apply online to Student Finance England. It's a fairly easy application, but you'll need to have your passport. The application process takes up to 6 weeks to finalise.
Thank you so much for your help. Can you send me this information in an email?
Yes, I can send you one of our fees and funding brochures too. Can I take your email address, please?
Listening, task 2. Listen to the recording and answer the questions. You now have 1 minute to read the questions. Listening, task 2.
Hi, my name's Tony Morris, and today I'd like to talk to you about the importance of having original ideas in business. Let me tell you a little story. When I was in my late 20s, I visited one of the biggest shopping centres in the whole of the United States. I was walking around different luxury stores, and after a while, something caught my attention. The majority of the clothes, shoes, and handbags sold there were not actually made in the States. I found it interesting and decided to look into it in more detail. I learned that many jobs had been replaced by machines in factories abroad because factories can make more products more quickly than a skilled craftsperson can. I then learned that businesses in many other countries in the Western world had done the same because they wanted to save time and money. At the time, I was busy running my own catering business. I had a small cafe and it took up most of my time, so I wasn't really ready to start thinking about another business. But then a couple of years later, I spotted a beautiful old leather bag on an online auction website. I bought it and took it on a plane journey not long afterwards. When I was boarding the plane, other passengers kept commenting on how much they liked my bag and asking me where I bought it. And then I suddenly had an idea. I wanted to make beautiful leather goods and I wanted them to be 100% American. Now, let me tell you, almost everybody I spoke to told me I was crazy. They kept saying, "Look, Tony, if you really want to make money, don't make your products in the US." But I'd already made my decision. I was going to set up my own handmade leather bag business. I had a lot of support from my wife and, with time, built up a network of skilled leather and metal workers who could work to the high standards I wanted. I also found a really good tannery in Chicago, and I get all the leather I use in my factory from there. I've now sold over 80 bags with a standard example price at $9,995, and we've taken orders for another 50. Let me tell you another important lesson I learned. People really don't mind spending a lot of money on products which are of really high quality. It gives me a real sense of pride to make things that are not only beautiful, but also designed to last my customers a lifetime. I'm working very hard to get better prices for my customers because I don't just want celebrities and extra rich people to be able to afford my bags. I want everyone to be able to buy nice quality things. In the past, that's what used to happen. People would buy a suitcase, travel the world with it, and then pass it on to their children and grandchildren, like my grandfather used to.
You will now hear the recording again.
Hi, my name's Tony Morris, and today I'd like to talk to you about the importance of having original ideas in business. Let me tell you a little story. When I was in my late 20s, I visited one of the biggest shopping centres in the whole of the United States. I was walking around different luxury stores and after a while, something caught my attention. The majority of the clothes, shoes and handbags sold there were not actually made in the States. I found it interesting and decided to look into it in more detail. I learned that many jobs had been replaced by machines in factories abroad because factories can make more products more quickly than a skilled craftsperson can. I then learned that businesses in many other countries in the Western world had done the same because they wanted to save time and money. At the time, I was busy running my own catering business. I had a small cafe and it took up most of my time, so I wasn't really ready to start thinking about another business. But then a couple of years later, I spotted a beautiful old leather bag on an online auction website. I bought it and took it on a plane journey not long afterwards. When I was boarding the plane, other passengers kept commenting on how much they liked my bag and asking me where I bought it. And then I suddenly had an idea. I wanted to make beautiful leather goods, and I wanted them to be 100% American. Now, let me tell you, almost everybody I spoke to told me I was crazy. They kept saying, "Look, Tony, if you really want to make money, don't make your products in the US." But I'd already made my decision. I was going to set up my own handmade leather bag business. I had a lot of support from my wife and, with time, built up a network of skilled leather and metal workers who could work to the high standards I wanted. I also found a really good tannery in Chicago, and I get all the leather I use in my factory from there. I've now sold over 80 bags with a standard example price at $9,995, and we've taken orders for another 50. Let me tell you another important lesson I learned. People really don't mind spending a lot of money on products which are of really high quality. It gives me a real sense of pride to make things that are not only beautiful, but also designed to last my customers a lifetime. I'm working very hard to get better prices for my customers because I don't just want celebrities and extra rich people to be able to afford my bags. I want everyone to be able to buy nice quality things. In the past, that's what used to happen. People would buy a suitcase, travel the world with it, and then pass it on to their children and grandchildren, like my grandfather used to.
Listening task 3. Listen to the recording and answer the questions. You now have 1 minute to read the questions. Listening task 3. Speaker 1.
I teach in a secondary school, and I think children should not be allowed to bring mobile phones into school because they disturb the students in the class. Other students simply lose concentration. Nowadays, there's also the problem of online bullying. This is actually a lot more common than physical bullying. There have been cases where some of our pupils became depressed because other kids were sending them nasty messages and sometimes even threatened them. Because children spend most of their free time texting or using apps on their phones, their reading and writing skills have really suffered, not to mention the effect on their health. Because of mobiles, kids aren't doing any physical exercise anymore.
Speaker 2. The thing that really annoys me is young people with mobile phones because they don't seem able to talk quietly. Although sometimes the parents are just as bad. I mean, I was on a train last week and sat near some teenagers who were on their phones and you could hear every detail of their private lives. They showed no consideration towards other passengers, and when a ticket inspector came around, they didn't even look up. I sometimes think that they do it on purpose, so that no one else sits next to them. Their behaviour is so rude. I think you should take the phones off them, or maybe we should have a test everyone has to take before they are allowed a mobile phone, a bit like a driving licence.
Speaker 3. Small children having their own mobile phones. I used to think it's such a bad idea, but I'm now the mother of a toddler, and it's amazing how I've suddenly changed my mind. You know, I mean, I look at my little one, and I think I'd do anything to keep him safe. And if it means buying him a mobile phone, then that's what I'm going to do. Plus, he absolutely adores playing with them. So whenever I need a quiet 10 minutes, I just give him my phone. How good is that? Obviously, it's way too early for him to actually own one now, but when he's 5 or 6, I might get him one.
You will now hear the recording again. Speaker 1.
I teach in a secondary school, and I think children should not be allowed to bring mobile phones into school because they disturb the students in the class. Other students simply lose concentration. Nowadays, there's also the problem of online bullying. This is actually a lot more common than physical bullying. There have been cases where some of our pupils became depressed because other kids were sending them nasty messages and sometimes even threatened them. Because children spend most of their free time texting or using apps on their phones, their reading and writing skills have really suffered. Not to mention the effect on their health. Because of mobiles, kids aren't doing any physical exercise anymore.
Speaker 2. The thing that really annoys me is young people with mobile phones, because they don't seem able to talk quietly. Although sometimes the parents are just as bad. I mean, I was on a train last week and sat near some teenagers who were on their phones, and you could hear every detail of their private lives. They showed no consideration towards other passengers, and when a ticket inspector came around, they didn't even look up. I sometimes think that they do it on purpose, so that no one else sits next to them. Their behaviour is so rude. I think you should take the phones off them, or maybe we should have a test everyone has to take before they are allowed a mobile phone. A bit like a driving licence.
Speaker 3.
Small children having their own mobile phones. I used to think it's such a bad idea, but I'm now the mother of a toddler, and it's amazing how I've suddenly changed my mind. You know, I mean, I look at my little one, and I think I'd do anything to keep him safe. And if it means buying him a mobile phone, then that's what I'm going to do. Plus, he absolutely adores playing with them. So whenever I need a quiet 10 minutes, I just give him my phone. How good is that? Obviously, it's way too early for him to actually own one now, but when he's 5 or 6, I might get him one.
This is the end of the listening examination.